Okay. We're going to go back to Galatians.
Hang on 1 second. Start again.
Okay. Ready? We're going to go back to Galatians chapter 1. And we actually didn't really get that far. So we're having a hard time getting even halfway out of chapter 1. But, right, it is good. I think we, you know, we do want to cover some ground. But, again, you don't want to rush through it and leave things unanswered.
Absolutely.
And things undone.
Yep.
The growth process is it's not a hurried one, right? Hurry up and grow, hurry up and grow, hurry up and grow. Okay, Galatians chapter 1. Now, one thing I guess to start off is to recap some things. Paul's writing to the Galatians because they had been seduced to go back under the law, which means to go back what? When you go back under the law, that means you go back under
performance.
Under bondage, under performance. That is, your performance is doing things, fleshly things, or even we think of flesh, but religious things, doing things to please God. Now, we don't say we keep the law today as far as the Ten Commandments. Well, some do, but most believers put themselves under performance or allow themselves to be put under performance like this. You have to go to church every Sunday.
And Tuesdays.
And when, or Tuesday or Wednesdays, whatever days they meet, you have to dress a certain way. You have to pay a certain amount. Anything that a person puts on you as a requirement to be saved, to stay saved, or to prove you're saved, is being put under the law, under performance. Even yourself. You can put yourself under a performance. Most people don't think about that. You can put yourself under a performance saying, well, I have to do this. God might be angry with me if I don't do this. I'm not talking about none of you all. I'm saying other people. but you can do that. And just sometimes when you read, I say that because sometimes when you read, you don't get the doctrine. You just think, well, that's Paul that wrote to the Galatians. But the lesson is there for us. Is you might be a Memphian, but you could just be a foolish Galatian too. If you let yourself get under the law or be put under the law, under performance. So the main thing is to find out why he wrote. And you know, I ask you this. Why do you think he had so much invested in the Galatians? Not just the Galatians, but all the epistles that he wrote. Why do you think he had that much invested in those people?
Because he believed all his heart and soul.
It was the Gentile nations, though, also. Majority of the people he was writing to were Gentile nations, and then he wrote something to the Jews.
He was writing, okay.
From his own personal experience, when he was met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and suddenly the truth unfolded in front of his eyes, and he saw how wrong he was. Imagine, felt pretty compelled from a personal standpoint to go out and share that message.
Okay.
They were like his children.
Okay. And see, that's the thing is this. That's why I asked that, because this is what we miss. Is he's invested in them because God is invested in them. It's not like he said, my heart and prayer is for his kinsmen according to the flesh. He says, I would love for them to be saved. He says, but God has given me this message to establish the people that he's dealing with today. And that's us, or Jew and Gentile, but anyone who trusts his son. And that's what we get to disconnect is God. You know, God wants to do something with us. Believers, this is not we play church. Like Melissa said, we play church because we are disconnected from God's purpose. We don't really believe he wants to use us. We don't know what he wants to do with us. So consequently, we do a lot of things that hinder that process.
Thinking we're pleasing him.
Paul said this about the nation, Israel. He said they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's what's missing today, is knowledge about what God is doing and what he wants to do with us. You know what zeal is, right?
Enthusiasm.
They're very, very excited. Very active. Activity. We'll go to a meeting. We'll drive across town to come here. That's zeal. I can't miss. That's zeal. We'll go to another country in the name of the Lord. That's zeal. We'll give, we'll labor. That's zeal, zealous. But Paul said this, but not according to knowledge. You know, sometimes when you're at work and you get real busy, and they'll say, how you doing? And I said, man, 100 miles an hour in a circle. I'm not making any progress, but you've got a lot of activity. And that's what believers do. They have a lot of activity, but they don't grow spiritually. What the law would do is put you on a treadmill. You'll have a lot of activity, but no growth. As Melissa say, you get churched out. I love that. Churched out. That when you get through going through all those rituals, and you sit down and you realize, you know what, I haven't grown 1 ounce. Because God's not doing what we think he's doing. So Paul had to write to the Galatians, and here we go, chapter 1. We're going to try to cover some ground here. First thing is to recognize who he is. Here's another thing, too. People don't realize how they hear from God today. Why do you think God wrote a book? So we'd read it. that's people write books, right? People write books so you will read them.
He
spoke in different ways in different times, but right, he has it now. He has it put together for us. You know, one of the things that separates human beings from all other forms of life is that we have the ability to communicate by words. So if God is if he wants to relate to us, he uses words. The issue is words on the page. The issue is words. Well, from the very beginning, the issue is what? What did he say? What did he say? Did he say it? The issue today is the same thing. What did he say? What does he want you to do? That's the issue today. So you have to think, number one is, this is really God's word. I have to believe that. If you find a person who doesn't believe this is God's word, don't spend time trying to discuss it with them. That's a waste of time. As my pastor would say, you might as well talk to the wall, because you would get just the same response. Corinthians said this. He says, what things know a man save the spirit of man that's in him, right? if any man have not the Spirit of God, you can't relate to him. Now, I'm hoping that we're talking to believers. So we have the Word of God here, and I hope we believe that. Right? So when I read it, you can't say that I said that. Right? That was Paul's number one thing. He says, first thing is this. Paul, what?
An apostle.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
That's Paul, an apostle, not by man, right? Mm-hmm. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He establishes who he is, where he got his authority from, right? Didn't he? What is an apostle anyway?
Someone is sent
from
God.
Right. He said, in this case, I'm sent by right, not by men.
You found a lost soul.
But by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, that's authority, right? Straight to the top. He was called to be an apostle. What if today, what if you are sitting at home and you got a phone call and it was the governor and he says, Louise, I would like you to be on my staff. I have a very important job and I want you to take it. What would you say? I know I would say, me?
I'd say I'm retired.
Like Moses.
Me? I'm not qualified for that.
Are you sure you got the right house?
Are you sure you had the right number, right? The right Frank? I'm the bad Frank. But who picked Paul? Well, Karen was saying that he knew who he was. Paul, he was an enemy. And the Lord chose him
from his mother's womb.
And he said this. He says, I've chosen you to be a minister and a witness, and I'll tell you what I want you to tell them, and I'll send you to whom I want to send you to. Because he's sending him to some people, the Gentiles, that he wants to do something with. And that Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Memphians. So to establish that is he, if you don't hear from God, you have no instruction. Right?
Paul.
That's how you hear from, if you remove the person whom God sent to you, how do you hear from God?
You don't.
I know you're thinking, okay, I know that. But we don't believe that. Believers. I'm talking about believers. They don't believe this. If you remove the apostle from the equation, you don't hear from God. Listen, when Israel went into captivity, Malachi or Amos was prophesied this. He says, in this day, in that day, there will be a famine. Not a famine of bread, but a famine of hearing the words of God. Because God shut up all the prophets. So they went, you know how they went for 400 years without hearing from God. Why?
They refused to hear the prophet.
They didn't refuse to hear the prophet. There was no prophet to hear. That's to me, that's weighty. Because what we think is this. I can listen. Moses, Jeremiah, Psalm, Hebrews, James, and think that that's God directly for you today. But it only comes through Paul for obedience. So when he starts off, he says, this is who I am. I'm Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren with me. Grace, unto the churches of Galatia. There they are. Right? Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's attitude towards us today. God's not mad. We might have a storm tonight. They'll guarantee somebody will be on TV tomorrow and say what?
God's mad.
God's mad. He's punishing whatever. Snow, rain, hurricane. What's the big storm? The hurricane?
The tsunami.
Anything that's going, God's mad. He's not mad today. He said grace and what?
Peace.
Peace. To who?
Mankind.
To mankind. How is he able to say that?
Because Christ paid the price.
Because his son bore the wrath.
That's right. You're right.
For us. He says, Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There you go. He's got a purpose. That's part of it, is to deliver us from this present evil world. All right?
Sounds like the right thing.
Why are we still here then? If he wants to, couldn't he just yank you out of here?
Whatever.
Wouldn't you trust him? And but we're here for a reason. Well, most people, people say, "I'm here for a reason. I just want to do what God wants me to do while I'm here," and then they start talking about things that God has nothing to do with while they're here. Like
we're farmers, we're planting seeds.
That too, but he says he's delivered us from this present evil world, that he might deliver us from the present evil world. Even we were talking about this Sunday, being conformed to the world is letting the world tell you how to think, tell you how to dress, how to act. Where to go, what to say. The news this morning, they says, well, the Boy Scouts. Well, we won't let them dictate the policies to leave us out, the homosexuals. They're going to leave us out. They're making a grave moral mistake. It's like, wow. You see how they turn that around? They says, if you leave us out, that's a moral mistake. But God says this, if I let you in,
thank you.
That's a moral mistake. The question is whose word is it? Who's the authority? I was reading the paper last night, and the first thing he said is, the first thing we have to talk about is, who's the authority here? What authority are we going to go by? So, Paul says, here's my authority, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and I'm next in line, and then I'm giving it to you. So when you despise me, you're not despising me. You're despising him who sent me. And in turn, him who sent me. Remember we went through that? And if any man, Paul said this, if any man be ignorant, what? Let him be ignorant.
I got a lot of them up there.
But he wants to deliver us from this from the influence of this present evil world. Yes?
Can I just say something about what you said about the Boy Scouts? I don't know if you heard how they decided now who's going to have the authority to decide whether they let gays in each local group.
No, I didn't. The sponsors?
The ones that support the group, the ones that pay the money. Oh. The sponsors are going to decide.
Wow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's some sick.
I tell you, we are. Well, he said this present pretty good world.
No.
This present what?
Evil
world. We keep looking for the good in it, but the farther it goes along, guess what? It's going to get worse. It has to, because he's going to do away with it. When Lot was in Sodom. And God told Abraham, he says, I'm going to burn it down. He says, if you have anybody in there. And Abraham says, wait a minute, God. He says, what about 50 in there? He's thinking about Lot. And he gets them all the way down to 10. And even when he went to get Lot, and Lot began to tell those people that God's going to burn this city up, this evil city, this wicked, the men of Sodom, he said, were wicked men. And he says, God's going to burn this city up. And the scripture said, but he seemed to them as one that mocketh. Like, this guy's, you joking, right? You go out today and we have so deluded scripture and twisted it and taken the power out of it. When you start talking about Jesus Christ, it's a joke. They were like, oh, you believe that? You believe in that? That myth? That man-made stuff? Where we don't realize that one day it won't be so funny. And when Lot goes there, he gets out, and what happens? He burned it up. He says, I you have to get out, Lot. And in this present evil world, we won't be here. He says, you have to get out. And the reason I gave myself, the Lord says, I gave myself to deliver you from this present evil world. Well, where are we going to be delivered to, Lord? This is part of why he's writing, is to, let's keep going here. He says this, 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel. He says that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And Ed talked about it Sunday, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. But he said the gospel of Christ is in a nutshell, is everything that he has accomplished for you. The gospel of Christ is everything that he has accomplished for you and I and me. Do you know what he accomplished for you? If you don't know what he accomplished for you, guess what will happen to you? You'll get removed from the grace of Christ unto something else. Removed means the pick this up here and put it over there. Out of this place where I'm standing firm and sure in what he did, taking me up and putting me over here on sinking sand. Because I don't know what he did. Go ask 10 believers. Say, just give me 5. Give me five things that Jesus Christ has done for you. I'm not talking about he gave me my house, he gave me my, I'm talking about the spiritual things that he has done for you.
Justification. He gave you life.
He redeemed me.
All right. Redemption. Justification, right. Redemption. What's that?
His righteousness.
An imputed righteousness, right. Well, you got it.
Sanctification.
Imputation. Well, you got it. Sanctification, right.
Glorification.
I didn't say 10 of you all collectively. I said individually. Glorification, right? You can go on and on. You can go into, believe it or not, you can go almost 100 different things that God has done for us. And none of them have to do with things you can put your hand on. But how many people know that? The Galatians didn't know it. They had been taught it, but they forgot it. How many people, the jump is this. The edge is that we do get it. We learn it. But sometimes it's just up here. You try to memorize it, but it hadn't taken hold. So he told the Galatians, he said, I marvel. He said that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Guess who wants you to be free? It's not just Paul, just not just me. Guess who wants you to be free?
Stand firm with liberty.
Jesus Christ.
The person who died for you.
To get you free.
To get you free. It's really apparent to me. It becomes more and more clear when you talk to people that they don't believe what happened. They don't believe it. We see Jesus Christ as almost like a fictional character. We're that far removed from what he has really done and what he wants to do. And so it's not hard for somebody to come and lead you by the hand and say, come on over here and get into this. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. Is to try to detract from what he did. To try to move you away from what he did on your behalf. How would they do that? They do it with words. In Acts, that was what they wrote. They wrote the letter to the Galatians. He says, we realize that there were some that went out that trouble you. Look at Acts 15. Hold your hand in Galatians. Look at Acts 15.
Well, Satan started it in Genesis, did God say? I mean,
with what?
The words. Questioning the words. Questioning.
He said.
Making them believe.
Listen, that's a good point. Hold your hand. Keep Acts, but I'm going to say this real quick. Back in the beginning, the issue, we said this, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And the thing is he had other trees there, didn't he? He could have picked any one of them. And God says, well, that one, don't mess with that one. Don't eat off that one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And Adam is here. Whose job was it to, like Paul, whose job was it to educate Adam?
God's.
Because he said this, God came looking for him. The voice of the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Why did he say the voice?
The words, the authority.
Because the issue is what?
His
word. So what Adam did was, he says, well, I'm going to forget what he said, God, and I'll take this other authority. What he said is, he promised me that I'd be what?
Wise.
It's God's job to give Adam the wisdom that he wanted him to have, right? But here he goes and he says, mine's better. Right? Did it turn out to be true? So Paul said this is my gospel. Right? And it says, I marvel. Look at what, this is what he wants to give you. He's giving you the word. I'm giving you what he's given me to give to you to
establish
you. That you might understand what he wants, what he has done, what he's doing, what he wants to do. And if you stop listening to me, what happens?
You listen to anything.
You fall apart. 15. 15 verse 22. He says, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have
troubled
you with
words.
Subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. He says, look, he says they trouble you with words and subvert your what? Your souls.
They're being subverted by being told to keep the law.
How? or give me another way to say that. He's subverting them by telling them what? To work.
To work.
To work.
Do good work.
Subvert is to undermine. To throw you off the base. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's where he said they subvert your soul. They trouble you with words and subvert your soul. Here's the issue. Like I said, let's keep going because we can bring this out a little better. Back to chapter, verse 7. Verse 8. But though we...
Back to Galatians.
Yes, I'm sorry. Galatians 1. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, this is to show you how serious this is. When Ed said, I would hate to be the man who fell under that curse. What's the big deal, Paul? The big deal is this. He said this. The gospel I got is not after, it's from God, right? It's for you to establish you, We should have learned that in Romans, right? Sanctify you, all that. And he said this, but you've been moved off that. Starts off, he says, God wants to deliver you from this present world, evil world, right? We just listed some things that he has done. You get that right away. Did you know that?
Not me.
That's what I'm saying. You get it right away, right? Now, he said this. Somebody else comes and they don't talk about these things. They don't talk about you've been justified, you've been sanctified, you've been glorified, you got redemption, you got, did I say glorified? You've been, you have imputed righteousness. They don't talk about you've been made accepted. They don't tell you those things. They tell you other things where this is how you, this is what you have to do to get it. This is what you got to do to keep it. So Paul said this. He said, let him be accursed. We just found out in Galatians, he said, the issue is the words that they preach subvert your souls. Right? You think of a building that's set up for demolition, right? You put it out, you put the buildings out there, it's dilapidated and it's set for demolition. That's, they're going to tear it down. That's the opposite of what?
Building
it up. God says this, I want to build you up. But if any man preaches another gospel, he's doing what? He's tearing you down. He's taking down the work that I'm building in you. That's why it's a big deal to God. And to those, if you know what's going on, that's why it's a big deal. If Ed heard some one of us say, I think we should keep the Jewish feast days. You know what he's going to say? Oh, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is, did he subvert your soul? Did he undermine the work that Christ put in you?
Yeah.
And you, here's a man, he's saying that this is, I have so much joy when I do this. Who are you kidding, man? You don't have it. You don't have it. You couldn't. Because it's opposite of what Paul is saying. Right? He says, the issue is this, is when God begins the process, and that's the moment you get saved. When he begins that process, it's serious to him to build you up. So he doesn't want you, like Frank said, I didn't know that. He doesn't want you to sit around 10 years and say, I didn't know that. I still don't know that, what he's doing to me. You might not believe it, but the information that you're getting has put you on a level of understanding that preachers don't have. Listen, there's preachers that preach every week, you got to do this. And the very first thing Paul says is this, is not by works. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift, not of
works.
Not by performance, lest any man should boast. How'd you get saved? I did this. How'd you get saved? You say, he saved me. How you gonna stay saved? I need to do this. No. How you gonna stay saved?
He keeps
me. How are you going to prove you're saved? I need to do this. How are you going to prove you're saved? Who art thou to judge another man's servant? But you don't get that every week. And God, he says, if any, he said, if we, even Paul said, he said, if the people that I'm with right now, if they come back to you next week and say, I made a mistake, you should be circumcised or whatever. He said, let him.
Or an angel.
Him. Let's go start with him first. Let him. Be what? So, Peter comes down to Galatia, and he's sitting down and he's eating with the Gentiles because he knows there's no difference, right? And all of a sudden, here comes the people that put you on a performance. They walk in, and Peter says, "Oh," and he starts performing. He gets up and he's, excuse me. And Paul says, wait a minute. He says, we're not that far yet. He says, I got in his face. I didn't pull him to the side. He says, I bet they were all in eating, you know, at the table. And this is now why Paul wanted to go make a scene like that. Why would he do that? He could have done that in private. You know why he did that?
Lesson.
Because it was a big deal. To who?
To the Lord.
To God. Because God had given him a message that says there's no difference. So he says, Peter, you know there's no difference. Why would you act like there's a difference now? That's just one aspect of grace. Right? So he said, if we or an angel preach any other gospel than what we preached, let him be accursed. And like Ed said, what is the curse? I don't know. But I don't want to be the man to find out what it is. Look at this. Look at First Kings. I'm going to show you this. I think this is a principle that's consistent with being accursed. Look at 1 Kings 13, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13.
The other
1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right. 1 Kings 13. God sent a prophet to Jeroboam with a message. And when he sent that prophet, he told him, he said, don't stop and eat or drink. Deliver the message and come on back home. Right? What is a prophet?
What is a prophet?
What is a prophet?
A man that speaks proclaims the name of
the Lord. Y'all sure? Yeah, it was a man that a man who speaks on behalf of the Lord, right? With a message. I don't be scared. That's so. He said, look at 1 Kings 13, verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the what?
Word
of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. I'm speaking on behalf of the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now, these people are already doing opposite of what God was telling them to do. So God sent this prophet to tell them, I'm going to get you for doing this. And three, he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard these saying, heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it into him again. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Why? He said it. He says, for, or because, the next verse, because so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Pretty obedient, right? He did what the Lord said to do, right? But look at this. Now, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And his son, and he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Pretty good, right? He's telling them this. I can't do it. Why? Because the Lord told me not to do it. Okay. He says, verse 18, he said unto him, I'm a prophet too. And what? An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying what? Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto him, and cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of thee which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass that after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they said, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, what did he say? It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake. Now, that was a long story, but the principle is this, is if God gave you instructions from the man he sent, you have to keep it. And if anybody else comes and undermines what God's messenger gave you, let him be eaten by a lion. Let him be a curse. Now, he may not be eaten by a lion, but he probably will be eaten by the lion. You know what I mean when I say that? What do I mean? The lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lord will get him.
Purging of the threshing floor.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, like I said, that was just the principle is, here's a man who had a message, and he was undermined by another man who said he was from the Lord. Isn't that what they do today? God told me. You know, that church voice, you know, that they do that, you know. And so God wants you to do that.
On the man that lied, but on the man that didn't follow the word of the Lord.
Right, and you would think that God would get the man who lied, wouldn't you?
He might.
He might. His day's coming too.
Just not in this story.
All right, First Corinthians 3. He's talking to the Corinthians. Carnal Corinthians, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like us, churched out Corinthians. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. And another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he shall be, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God. Who's the temple of God?
We are.
Who's we?
Christians.
The believers. He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God
destroy.
For the temple of God is
holy.
Which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. He said, now, Paul says, I have laid the foundation. He says, I'm a wise master builder. What are you talking about, Paul? He says, I have the instructions, I have the information to build you up. To establish you. I got it from Jesus Christ. And it's based on Jesus Christ. Right? He said this. He said, now, other people build with me, but he better be careful. What is he building with?
Doctrine.
He's building with words, right? Doctrine. And he's putting it on you. And he's either building you up or what?
Tearing you down.
And he said this. He says, now, if his work will be tried by the Lord. And talk about being a curse, he himself will be saved. How can a man teach bad doctrine for years, teach just the opposite of what Paul said, and instead of establishing you, he breaks you down, but that man will still be saved? How could that be? That's a question.
He doesn't believe the truth.
Well, I'm saying, how could it be that God doesn't get him?
He may, we just won't know about it.
Where he won't lose his salvation. God's going to get him, but he won't lose his salvation. He won't lose his salvation because once for all. Once for all. God won't go back on his word. He said that in Timothy. He says, if you suffer with him, you will reign with him. He says, if you believe not, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. He says, now you saved. He said, but you are not telling them what I want them to hear. And I'm going to get you for that. What are you going to do to me, Lord?
Surprise, surprise.
Don't know. But I don't want to be the man to find out. I want to be the man that he says, I'll send him because I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. I want to be that guy. And to help you see what you have in Christ. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, he says, if any man preach any other gospel than what I preached, let him be a curse. And I'm telling you again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what I preached, let him be accursed. And he finished up, he says, now, do I seek to please men? He said, do I persuade men? You think I'm running with the crowd when I tell you this gospel? It's against the mainstream. You're not going to turn on TV and find people telling you you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You don't have to work to be saved. You won't hear that. You don't believe me? Well, Miss Coleman, you know, you go to church. You go to different churches. Line, get your notepad out. Church A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Who tells me that I'm saved by grace through faith plus nothing? You can keep tally on that one. This guy doesn't. And when you get through with the 5-10 churches that you go to, you might have two, but you definitely will have one. Right? And the thing is everybody's saying, thus saith the Lord. Everybody. But
even Satan said, thus saith the Lord. He's just taking
them
out of context.
So it's definitely... Yes, ma'am.
Did you say a few minutes ago, yeah, I may have missed it, that once saved, always saved?
Once...
I just want to know, did I hear you say something similar to that?
You heard me say that. Not similar to that. You heard me say that.
Did you say, once saved, always saved?
I said once. Well, I won't say I said that. Let me let you read something, and you can explain it to me.
Okay.
Look at Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're just going to kind of go through a couple of things. And what's that?
I mean, I don't care. We keep it rolling.
Oh, I was going to stop the. I was going to stop it.
Keep it going. Let them hear it.
Now, you know I wrote Ephesians, right?
Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1.
Oh, I'm saying that for our benefit. Everybody in here know I wrote Ephesians, right?
No, you didn't.
Paul wrote Ephesians.
I did not write Ephesians, right?
Okay, Paul did.
Who had Paul write Ephesians?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Does everybody believe that?
Yes.
That God had Paul write Ephesians?
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes, I believe.
Say it. You do? Okay.
The Bible's written by me and the Holy Ghost is five.
Okay. So I didn't write that, right?
No, you didn't write.
Okay, now. Let's look at this. Look at verse chapter 1, verse 3, just for a minute. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what?"
All
what?
Spiritual
blessings in?
Heavenly places. In Christ.
Okay.
In Christ.
Now, how many?
All.
Where?
In Christ.
What kind?
Heaven.
Spiritual blessing.
Can you touch a spiritual blessing?
No.
But we have them, right?
Yes.
Do you know what they are?
Justification.
Do we? Some of them. Okay. If you don't know what they are, guess what? We need to find out what they are. Okay.
But does it say, what does that half mean?
Half is what? That's a tense, right?
Past.
Past tense.
I mean, we've already
past tense is a present.
You
already have them. And the thing is, the reason you don't know is because you haven't been reading.
You haven't been studying.
But will he take them away if we do something wrong?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Would he?
What shall
if he blessed you with them already, what will happen if you read that tomorrow?
We already had them.
We already had them.
Mm-hmm. They're yours. That he says, I've already done this for you. Right? Well, let's see, Paul. Give me one of these. He said this. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow, that's a lot. He said this. He says, one of the spiritual blessings is this. I have already determined beforehand, before you heard this, I said in my mind that one day there's going to be some believers and I'll make them holy and without blame. How could you do that? He said this. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by
Jesus Christ.
That's the adoption of children. If you don't know what that means, you don't know what a tremendous blessing that is. You don't get it. He said this. He says, I've predetermined this.
Before I was born.
Before you were born. Not based on you, but based on by Jesus Christ. He said, now, he said, you get in him. How do you get in Christ? You trust him. He says, you get in him and you are bathing in spiritual blessings, right? Okay, here's the thing one. He says, pray to the praise of the glory of his grace, in wherein in his grace he hath made us what?
Accepted.
He hath made us accepted in the
beloved.
He hath made us accepted in him.
Already.
When you trust him, he says, why? Don't look at your behavior. He says, I made you accepted. What does that mean? That means you can't do it. If he made you accepted, that means before you were unacceptable. But he made you accepted in blessed be the God and Father of the Lord, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In him, he just said, you've been chosen, you've been predestinated, you've been made holy, you've been made accepted, right? He says, verse 7, in whom, in him again, we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, right? Now, just for time's sake, look at verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted, that's Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of what?
Your salvation.
Whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession until the praise of his glory. Now, you say, you mean once saved, always saved? Now, God said this. He says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, he said, you were sealed. You know what that means? This, if this thing was tight on there, it's sealed, right? I could roll around on the floor. I could throw it in the mud. I can put it in the garbage, right? What's wrong with the water inside of it? I'm sure you're familiar with canning goods, canning. Mm-hmm. You know, they take the jelly, all that stuff, put it in those cans, and put that sure gel on it.
Paraffin.
Put that paraffin. We put that mason jar, the cap on there. Why you do that?
But you have to put that jar in that hot scalding water in order for that seal and heat to really seal it.
Who went through the hot scalding water for you? He said we were sealed what? Read the verse. 1:13. We were sealed
with
what?
Spirit.
He didn't say sealed by the Holy Spirit. He said you were sealed with him. Now, do you think anybody could get between God and you? Let me answer that for you. No. Because when you start thinking about it, you're gonna doubt his work.
But just let me ask you this. What shall separate you from the love of God?
You tell me.
Sin.
All right, look at Romans chapter 8.
Okay.
Now, see this?
No.
This is a...
I want to hear this.
I want to hear you say it, because if you say it, then you have to believe it.
No,
Romans 8. At Romans 8. You can leave. You need to leave.
Okay.
Romans 8. Look at verse 30, for time's sake, 35, is it?
Mm-hmm. That's a very question.
35. What did it say? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able. You think sin in the group?
I see the love.
Listen, he says, nothing. He says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, he says, he'll say, okay, Ms. Coleman, he says, I just told you 17 things that won't separate you
from his love.
He said, tribulation, distress, peril, all those things. That includes sin is in that group.
If I leave out of here and go to the nightclub, now I've never been in the nightclub, and if I start ordering what they call it, booze, I don't know the name, no whiskey, and I keep drinking and this becomes my lifestyle, are you saying that I'll still see Jesus?
What did that verse say?
I know God is still
looking. I don't have anything to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe the verse?
I believe the Bible.
Do you believe it?
I believe whatever.
What will separate you?
Now, I know he's still going to love me no matter what I do.
You don't believe that?
I believe God is still going to love me no matter what I do. Because he said God is love. But I'm saying, I know that if I leave here and go to that nightclub, if the Holy Ghost hadn't led me in there, then I don't have any business in there with my character. I don't need to be in there drinking. But now, if I leave here and go to the nightclub and continue that lifestyle, and I've turned from what the Word said, am I still going to see Jesus?
Do you want to go to the nightclub?
That's not what I said.
I'm asking you a question.
If I go and God hadn't given me to go, now if I go to the nightclub right now, I feel like I need to be in there passing out some tracks or telling somebody about Jesus.
I'm trying to find out.
And then I need to get on out of there so I don't take on that nightclub spirit.
Okay.
But now I want to know this. This is all I'm saying. If I leave here and go to that nightclub and start being a regular nightclub goer and an alcoholic and whatever else they do in the nightclub, and God take the breath and all from my body, and I die right there on that nightclub floor,
mm-hmm.
Where am I going to spend eternity?
I'll say this, and then we'll close out. Is why do you want my opinion about that?
No, because I'm trying to understand this. Once saved, always saved.
I'm saying we just read the verse.
We read, but if I turn,
you don't believe what you just read.
I believe the Bible.
I don't think so.
I don't care what you think. I know. The Bible.
But I'm saying, look, you just read it.
I know what I read.
What did you read?
But I said, if my lifestyle changed, then if I start going in that nightclub, then I'm not gonna believe because I'm turning away from the Word of God. Am I transgressing the law if I decide to live?
You're not under the law, Ms. Coleman.
You know what I mean. Am I transgressing what I once believed?
Ms. Coleman, I did those things after I became a Christian.
I suffered the consequences of it. I messed my life up to it. I regret to this day.